Hi there, this is Radio Kate. I'm in Qatar for the World Conference of Science Journalists. It's absolutely freezing in this conference centre, I have to say, so I'm probably going to go outside and brave the 45 degree heat just to warm up. But we've just been in an interesting session about am I a science journalist? It's an argument that I think is going to keep going on and on about journalists versus bloggers. But that's not the point. The point is, sat just along the table from me with somebody sporting a NASA sticker on their MacBook, which of course pricked up my interest, being a space geek that I am. And so Owen Gaffney is here. Now tell me, what's brought you to Doha and what do you do?
Okay, I'm Director of Communications for the International Geosphere Biosphere Programme, and what we do is global change research. So we coordinate research internationally. We have 10,000 scientists in about 70 countries, and we coordinate research on global change. So how our oceans are changing, how the cryosphere, the ice sheets, the glaciers are changing, how the land is changing, how the atmosphere is changing, and how all these changes affect each other and have knock-on effects and cause other changes in the Earth system. And our big real thing is how humans, how society at a planetary level is affecting planetary scale systems, how human society is affecting the water cycle, the carbon cycle, the nitrogen cycle, all the major systems that keep the planet in check. So we look at the world from a big historic perspective, a paleo perspective, you know, how this Earth system worked in the past and how it's working now and why it's so different. And I guess the reason we're here is because the scientific community is very concerned about the risks society is taking with these planetary scale systems and how they're going to change. Because, you know, society has developed over the last 10,000 years in the Holocene era, which has been a particularly stable climate. And there are particularly good reasons why it's been a stable climate, and which we understand well, about glacial cycles, how they wax and wane, what causes them, how the Earth moves around the Sun and that changes from time to time, how the pulls of the planets like Jupiter and Saturn affect Earth's orbit very slightly, take us a little bit away from the Sun, put us into ice ages, push us a bit closer to the Sun, bring us into warm periods. And now we can't really rely on those cycles to generate the long-term climates we have. Humans are really the biggest driving force on the planet, and we're working out how things are going to change in the future and what kind of risk humanity is taking right now and what humanity might need to do to put us back, to keep the planet within its stable boundaries.
And how important is the journalist's role in sort of getting this information out to the public and maybe changing attitudes and even behaviours that could make a difference?
Well, in 2001, we held a major conference on Earth system science in Amsterdam. I mean, it was a historic moment, really, for Earth system science. And this goes back to James Lovelock's Gaia hypothesis. It was kind of the mainstream acceptance of the Gaia hypothesis. But, you know, in the last few months, I've been looking through people's reports of how they felt that 2001 conference went, and one person submitted something to us saying this was an amazing conference. You know, everyone in that room understood the profound implications of human actions on the planet, but no one outside the room really has that profound understanding. In 2012, we're holding the follow-up to that conference in London, the Planet Under Pressure conference, which will be held 3 months before the Earth Summit. And we want that conference to be a state of the planet assessment, to bring 2,500 of the world's leading scientists and the media and policymakers and business and industry and different sectors together to hear from the scientific community the latest science. And I think the role of journalists is absolutely crucial in communicating the risks humanity is facing in not taking on board the latest knowledge from the science community on how we're changing the Earth system.
But it can be very hard, can't it? I mean, there's been endless articles about climate change and things. But, I mean, how do you actually break through into people's consciousness and make them realise that it's something that they have to do and take responsibility for now? I mean, even on the level of persuading my housemates to recycle. I've made it so easy for them. They've got, you know, all of the paper and the glass and the tins. I've got the compost bin. I've even had to put labels on the bin saying, you know, in red letters, not this stuff. You know, this can go in recycling and the bin for these bits. And I still can't get them to take notice, even when I tell them repeatedly. So it's a struggle.
Oh, it's a massive struggle. As you said at the start of this report, that we're here talking about the difference between science journalism and science blogging. And I think that is part of the issue. We've got this information overload at the moment. And when you look at a particular scientist, you know, scientists have a way of bringing together knowledge on a particular issue, you know, on maybe climate change or neurology or whatever it might be. So, and they will, you know, use the scientific journals in that field, they'll use the experts in the field, they'll use colleagues who sit around the corner from them, they'll go to conferences, they'll go to symposia, and these kinds of things. And they have this matrix of really bringing together this knowledge, assembling it in their heads, and understanding where the truth lies. And the truth is, you know, it's science, so the truth is dynamic, but where it lies at that particular point. And the public don't really have that kind of matrix. I mean, there's just this mass of information, some of it completely contradictory, and you don't always know whether the information is good information, valuable information, useful information, accurate, or completely inaccurate. Even in the media that know and trust and love and have been reading for years, you know, you've probably got something in the back of your head going, well, I don't know if this is entirely true. I can't really. But you've got no way of verifying these things. So I think, we need.
It's almost like the public are becoming a little bit more discerning. They're learning that they have to question things a bit more. But then you've got some of the pseudoscientists or even some of the, you know, cosmetics companies kind of playing on this idea that, well, if you use technical language, then people are more likely to believe you. But then if you start to learn to question that, then you might look, you know, you might question the real science. And it must be very difficult to know. You can't be an expert in everything, so where should people go for information?
Well, I think you're right, but people should question science, I think, and people should be encouraged to question science, and that that helps science progress, and that shows the validity of science as well, that you can, you know, if you can't stand up to intense questioning, then the science doesn't have isn't valid, so you know, you move on. So I mean, it needs supporting evidence. So I think
This is a point that came up yesterday in the talk about evolution. There is a difference between differing opinions within the science community about the exact detail on something and whether the entire theory or proposal or hypothesis is correct or not. And unfortunately, it seems sometimes that the public would think, well, if they're questioning amongst themselves, the whole thing must be wrong. So maybe we need to do something to explain the scientific method better?
Yeah, but then is it the role of journalists to teach science? I mean, this is primary education. I mean, it's the role of governments and society to invest in education so that people understand this difference. But I think, you know, we have to. One key thing is we need to improve the collective understanding of the Earth system. I mean, we've got the internet now. We've got the likes of Google and other search engines and things which can really help, which provide a huge amount of information, and a lot of it's really important and interesting information and valid information. And I think we need some sort of new system for bringing together this information so people can improve their collective understanding, can ask questions and get answers from reliable, responsible people who are going to inform them in some way. So I think, you know, I've got a great hope that the internet and digital technology is going to really help understand our collective understanding of or improve our collective understanding of the Earth system, and it's, you know, it couldn't come a moment too soon. I mean, it has to be in the next decade or so. Everyone needs to have more of a planetary awareness and think more about what they're doing. You know, think locally and act globally, and start changing, start transforming behaviour.
And the conference that you're running, is that open to anybody, or is it specifically for policymakers, journalists, and and scientists?
Well, it's open to anyone. It's a science conference, and it's going to be the very latest science on issues like, you know, sea level rise, you know, what's happening to our ice sheets, but also about behavioural change, about social media and its impact. We're doing a session with Google, New York Times and the BBC on tipping points in social systems, but then there'll be tipping points in natural systems as well. You know, what's going to happen to Asian monsoons, what's going to happen to droughts in America, these kind of things. So it's going to be a whole mixture of social science and natural science. The audience is, anyone can come to it. We're aiming it. We want as many people from the developing world to come, particularly policymakers and scientists. We want 40% attendance if we can, and we're raising funds for that. But it's very much an international conference, and we're working quite closely with, for example, Ban Ki-moon's, the UN Secretary General's panel on global sustainability, because they'll be producing a report soon on this issue, and we wanted to feed in, you know, what the scientific community thinks on global sustainability, and so the policy and science are at least singing on similar hymn sheets on these kinds of issues. So, yeah.
It sounds like a fascinating conference. Where can we find out more? Give us a website.
The website is www.planetunderpressure2012.net.
That's wonderful. Thank you.